How about that? That was Del Castillo, little band from Texas. I think they play in Austin a lot. I don't know about you, but that gets my blood pumping. Okay, big show today. We got tons of stuff to do. I'm going to try to do it right. I'm going to try to do it in the right order. Oh, first thing, let's get the checklist out the way. Let's start with the... Shadow Chinaco. Can't nothing beat it. As you notice, there was a pop more than a thump. That's because it's a brand new bottle. Yeah, those bottles, they run dry after a while. Okay, how about that Rick Del Castillo? I mean, I'm sure they're all good. Rick's the only one I know. But, Lord, when I saw him, I met him in 85, and he was just the best thing that had ever been in an Oklahoma club. And I know what you're thinking, yeah, Oklahoma clubs, but that was 18 years ago. He's 18 years better than the best guy that came to town 18 years ago. Okay. A lot of stuff to do. Let me tell you about a couple ideas I had. You know, I have lots of ideas. Some work, some don't. Well, most don't. Let me tell you about the idea I had that I think might work. I should redo this, but who's got time? Okay, my new idea. Everyone can do it, too. It requires the use of the BART phone. And what we're looking at here is, you know, since we still have no commercials besides the very generous MickRaceley-silver.com, to break up the bits, I thought maybe we could get people to do little promos. And what they would sound like is something like this.
Hey, Bart, it's me, Joe from Toledo. How you doing, man?
Or you could include maybe a little news, maybe a little something about your town, something really short. Remember the old days we used to say, they read it in Saskatchewan, they read it in Finland, they read it in Pyongyang, North Korea. Well, or we could do one like this.
Bart, Father Mushroom up here in Minnesota. Just want to let you know I just talked to Isaac Peterson. He's just a little east of here in St. Paul. He's doing great. And all is well up in Minnesota. Best to you and Mrs. Bart. Happy 4th of July. Bye.
You see, that comes off just, you know, kind of friendly. And I realize lots of people don't like to use the BART phone. You know, we have dozens of listeners, and we probably had 24 different people calling on the BART phone, and I sure like hearing from those 24 people, but that means there are other dozens that have yet to call, and we'd like to hear from many of you. And like I say, if you don't think you have anything to say, you could call and say, hi, this is Bob in Kingman, Arizona, and I just wanted to say, nice page, dude, or rock on, dude. You don't have to use dude, but I'm just saying, it's a way to be friendly. Okay, now my other idea. I was shocked. I was more than shocked. I was extra shocked when this idea did just take off like wildfire. I posted it on a couple of the forums, and people stayed away in droves or whatever. I thought this was just a bang-up idea. And, I recently have come into this poker obsession, and I tend to get obsessed about my obsessions. And so I thought about combining obsessions. And instead of having like some kind, you know, people have been asking, when are you going to do a BART Fest? Well, who wants to go to a BART Fest? But I thought, what if we had a traveling poker fest? Now, hold on. I am drowning in these frequent flyer miles now. We've got 3 round trips now, and the mail hadn't come yet. So what I thought about doing is, there's lots of big complaints when we do a fest, but one of the bigger ones is, went so far. Well, what if we came to you instead? What if, let's say, what is this, July something, 7th? What if in August, what if we had a poker fest in Chicago? See, Southwest Airlines flies to Chicago. So what we could, here's what we do. Me and the missus, if I can talk her into it, we fly into Chicago. We get us a hotel room, nothing fancy. But we might have to get a big room because there'll be people there. So if there are any poker playing BART coppers in the Chicago area, you don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to rent a hotel. All you got to do is drive to wherever the hotel is. And let's say there's, you know, 6 or 8 of us. We sit around. We play some friendly poker. Now, I don't mean friendly poker because it's, you know, we can't play for matchsticks or beans. I mean, we're going to have to play for dollars because otherwise, you know, every goof with a pair of twos is going to bet all his matches and then he's going to lose and then he'll go get another book of matches. And that's not poker. That's something else. So what we'd have to do is play for real money, but not crazy money, you know, 50-cent, dollar kind of thing. If you If you play on a 50 cents or a dollar card, you can lose $100 if you try real hard. If you bet on every hand that comes your way and raise every raise that comes to you and never win, yeah, you're going to lose $100. So don't do that. But what we're talking about, once you get the poker out of the way, well, or once you understand about the poker, now what we got is six or eight people in a room telling wild stories, meeting maybe for the first time. I mean, say if we do it in Chicago, you figure Pete's going to be there, you figure Zomar's going to be there, you figure, you know, the whole Chicago gang, maybe Isaac can make it over from Minnesota, maybe the gang from Northern Air Lodge might make it over. I mean, Chicago, you know, it's kind of central. So what we got is a bunch of people sitting around the room playing some poker, maybe sipping on a little Shinako, maybe smoking a pipe, maybe. Maybe order out for pizza, maybe, you know, porn on the TV, just kidding. But, you know, just like a little friendly kind of get-together where there are no expenses, hardly, outside of the money. Hopefully you'll be losing at poker. But this way, the massive costs of a fest are brought down to whatever you can. Hell, you might go home a winner. How fun to go to a fest and come home with 60 extra bucks that you didn't have when you went there. So anyway, I posted this on two of the forums and got just the biggest thud. I should have a sound effect of a thud, but I don't. But everybody said, damn, if I had a job, that'd be great. Or my wife won't let me play poker. Or I could come and you know, play for a little while, for 20 minutes. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky. But, you know, my wife, hell, even in the old days, she'd let me. I could tell her, well, I'm going to play poker and we're going to the nudie bar afterwards. And she'd say, well, don't get too drunk. But, you know, it wasn't like I had to get permission to go to the poker game. But anyway, everybody I talked to seemed to think this was a really, really bad idea. See, my plan was maybe in August go to Chicago, maybe in September go to L.A., or maybe Las Vegas. But I know how you people hate Las Vegas. Or we could do, I don't know if Southwest flies to Atlanta. They might. Or we could do Austin, go see Del Castillo. Cool. You know, but yeah. This seemed like just a really, I thought it was going to be a big idea, but resistance was the opposite of futile. It was generally accepted and passed around. So anyway, sometimes there's good ideas, sometimes there's bad. I'm tending to ramble on, so we'll cut this segment short. But if by some chance there's anybody listening to this that can get out of the house with your wife's permission and drive to a hotel in your town, hey, send me an email. Christ, there still might be life left. Okay. So to close, had the two ideas, one good, one bad. If you would, if you don't mind, call the BART phone, 918-493-1500, easy number to remember for you Democrats, and just say, hey, this is, especially if you haven't called before. You know, I don't mind hearing from the people that have called before, but the people who have never called, it probably won't cost you a dollar. Probably cost you 50 cents. It costs you about 10 cents if you're on the BART Cop long distance plan. But you just call and say, hi, my name's Winifred, and I'm in Hoboken, and I just wanted to say, nice page, dude. That's all there is to it. We could get 6 or 8 or 10 of those and kind of sprinkle them in the next issue and act like this was an interactive thing, you know. And if anyone is up for the Poker Fest, give me a call. I'm holding my breath.
Just 1 week after a Bush administration report denied that global warming is a problem, an impeccably respected Geneva-based organization not given to hyperbole released an unprecedented warning about the effects of global warming. President Bush immediately ordered 50,000 U.S. troops into Switzerland to stop the World Meteorological Organization from frightening the U.S. public with any more dire alerts of impending doom. That's our job, said Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld.
Speaking of crazy bastards, I was sent a tape by Revolver Entertainment, being a powerful and influential member of the media. Stole that from Rush. I get stuff in the mail. And this was a videotape from Revolver Entertainment. And it's called Baghdad Bob. So you can kind of, I'll bet some of you Sharpies out there can figure out where this is going. It's a compilation of Baghdad Bob's greatest hits. Some of it's really said some goofy stuff. I mean, he really did, you know. If you don't know, And I missed out on a lot of this. Everybody was talking about Baghdad Bob before I knew who he was. You know, how if you just get the wrong channel, the whole world's ahead of you. But Baghdad Bob was Saddam's, I guess, his airy flasher, his lying weasel with the forked tongue. And every day he was sent out to reassure the people of Iraq that the Americans were not coming and there was no problem. And those booms you hear outside of town or kids playing with fireworks, it was pretty good. Because there was times when he would say, there are no Americans. The Americans were crushed in disgrace by our brave men. And, you know, you see like American planes flying over and you see smoke in the background and you hear, you know, in the distance you hear the booms going off. But Comical Bob, they call him. Baghdad Bob, he was always saying, oh, there is no problem. There is the Americans have not been able to penetrate our big defenses. And this tape is, I confess I stopped watching after 46 minutes just because the time is just spinning. But it probably is longer than that since I stopped in the middle when it was 46 on the clock. But they have kind of a history of what he does and, you know, a little biography. It's kind of like the biography on A&E they told about Baghdad Bob, or they call him Chemical Ali. I got the name wrong a while ago. Comical Ali. Get it right, dude. But anyway, if you'd like a copy of this, I am unsure of the price. I'll bet it's priced to sell. But you go to www.BaghdadBobDVD.com. Wonder why I got a tape. But it's Baghdad, and be sure you get the H in Baghdad. A lot of people forget the H. You got to have that H, or you don't have. You got Baghdad, but it's not the Baghdad. www.BaghdadBobDVD.com. So if you go there, tell them Bart said to give you half off. No, just kidding. I don't have a piece of this, and all I got out of it was a free tape. But it's a good tape. You'll like it. Okay, what else we got?
Hey Bart, it's your friend Deb from the Left Coast. I'm calling to offer a suggestion for those skeptics out there who think there's no difference between a Democrat and a Republican. Here's a really easy way to tell the difference. Pour a half a glass of water and set it down. A Democrat will walk up, take a look at the half a glass of water and say, that glass is half empty. Whereas a Republican will walk up and look at the same half a glass of water and say, hey, who the hell's been drinking my water? Somebody get Kent Starr on the phone. Well, anyway, I hope that will clear up some confusion for your listeners. And I'd also like to add my suggestion for the official song for the George W. Bush 2004 election campaign. I'd swear that was W. himself at the end of this clip. I hope you enjoy it. It's by The Drowning Pool.
Thanks, Deb from the West Coast. Okay, now we're going to try something. This is, unfortunately, kind of X-rated. It's not really X-rated. It's more of a hard R. And my stalkers love it when I say hard R. But this is some stalker mail that I put together. It's he uses the rough language, so you milder folk might want to hold your ears up here. Okay, here we go. This is from, I'll get to that in a minute. Subject, hey, Bart. The stupid fucking moron. Come on, quit being a coward and get over it. Gore lost. You and Perkel, the prison bitch, can go up against me. Both of you don't even equal half a brain! ! You can run, but you can't hide. Misspelled can't. I'm going to bitch slap you, dumbass. Little Bart Cop is a pathetic, defeated, and humiliated coward. I did not know that. I knew you were a pussy, but I didn't know this big of a pussy. You were too easy, he says. Here comes another one. Subject. Email I have sent to your mindless idiot minions. Even sent multiple emails to the employers of people from Bart Cop. Resume. Or resume. To let them know. Oh, hell, the whole screen just shifted. to let them know their employee was leaving. I got one Bart Copper fired for sure. For your viewing pleasure, comma, asshole. I've ha 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 ha. What does that mean? I've ha 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 ha. Your brainless leader. Oh, this is the letter he sent to people. I've ha 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 ha. Your brainless leader, Bart Cop, runs in humiliating defeat from debate with me. The cowardly faggot Democrat runs away because I can bitch slap him at will. Might be a... Sorry about that. When that damn yapping dog next door goes crazy, that means there's somebody walking up to the door. You know, it's funny how a dog can communicate, or a cat, but we've been here, I don't know, we've been in a Bart Cop manor many years, but the dog next door has been here maybe 5, 6, and after a while, you can tell if somebody's walking by, he barks one way. If somebody's walking up to our door, he barks a different way. And even our cats know this. If we're, the four of us are sitting there watching TV, and the dog barks a certain way, the cats run into the bedroom because they know someone's about to knock on the door. They can tell by the dog's particular bark. I just think that's kind of weird because, like I say, if somebody walks by or the neighborhood kids are playing or something, he barks a different way. Anyway, sorry about the interruption. It was two Jehovah's Witnesses wanting to know, did I know Jesus Christ loved me? I wasn't mean to them, and I didn't use any bad words, but I don't think they'll come back. I have a feeling they put the little red X behind that address. Okay, where were we? We were reading this extremely intelligent mail from my stalker. Humiliating defeat from debate with me. The cowardly faggot Democrat runs away because they can bitch slap him at will. Your idol has been toppled. Worst. W-R-S-T. Then THEN Saddam's statue. So I have been toppled, worst, then Saddam's statue. And then he says, bwah, ha 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 ha. Barkop and Perkel are my prison bitches. Barkop runs away like a coward in fear. Gorlos, get over it already. You faggots. You are my bitch. This is probably a new mail. Bart faggot is so Perkel. Oh, no, you are my bitch, Bart faggot. Period, space, is how human beings write. So is Perkel. Kneel before me. It is too easy to defeat you. You are an imbecile. Misspelled, but he did put A-N instead of A in front of imbecile. Not too bad. Hey, Bart, you moron. Gore lost. Get over it. Bush won 11 times. Jesus, 11 times? How many elections did they fix? Run away in fear, idiot boy. Excuse me, sir, but idiot has two eyes in it. Bwah, ha, 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 ha. Holy fuck, the people that visit your website are morons. He spelt morons correctly. They are fucking stupid beyond belief. Aha, I before E, except after C, or if it rhymes with neighboring way. Fuck you, today is America's day. Must have sent this on the 4th. Leave now, you anti-American faggot. We're about to close here. Fuck you and everything you represent. I hope a bottle rocket lands on your roof and burns your house down. While you are trapped inside, you anti-American faggot. Americans are proud of Bush today and every day. Fuck you, you anti-American faggot. Leave America now. You know what gets me? I mean, I have many stalkers. I should do a book or a chapter or something about the stalkers, but he signs his name Terry Homo. Now, Is he a gay individual? Is he having trouble coming to grips with his gaiety? Is this a cry for help? Is he transferring onto me that which has been transferred onto him? It's so funny. I mean, I am not gay, but apparently he gets a big sexual charge out of saying, you faggot. And I suppose that would be to anyone above him on the IQ bar, which, in my case, poor bastard. But anyway, that's from Terry Homo. I don't know if he's my premier stalker, but he's what's the word? The most maybe single-minded with this faggot and kneel before me and stuff. I mean, you know, and all these stalkers, You know, I say this, and I don't know if you think I just throw it out, but they live and breathe their barkhop.com. I guess they have somewhere on a computer that you can set a little bell to go off if the page has been updated. And, you know, I can post the page, say, at 1 o'clock, and by 1:10, hey, faggot. And then they just go off. I mean, wonder what happens if they're, like, you know, having sex with someone or in the middle of a meal or, you know, God forbid, what if they're bathing and the bell goes off? I mean, do they run out of the shower and jump on their computer and dial barkhop.com knowing that there's magic just at their fingertips? I mean, these stalkers, they are a strange lot. I think they should all get together and form a club. Oh, maybe they could all meet over on barkhop.net. Barkhop.net is sworn enemy of barkhop.com. Oh, I got to tell you this, too. This is kind of funny. I could read you the exact emails, but one night I had a couple drinks, and I thought about the barkcop.net guy. So I put together a little scam, and I wrote to him, made it sound all urgent. I said, dude, look, it's all just a joke. You know, I'm liberal and you're conservative, but hey, this is serious now. We got to talk man-to-man real quick. I said, there's a big Hollywood faction here. There's three stars. Can't give you their names. There's three big Hollywood stars are going to put in like a whole bunch of money, and they're going to build barkhop.net a big thing. But they said the only thing, the only hits, and the only thing that'll kill the deal is I got to have barkhop.com and barkhop.net. So here's what I'm willing to do. I give you $1,000 today for the domain name rights to barkhop.net. I said, tell you what, $2,500. I will PayPal you $2,500 today. Yeah, I got that much in my PayPal account. I will email you or PayPal you $2,500 today if you get right back to me and transfer that your domain whatever's over to me, because it's going to queer this whole, get it? It's going to queer this whole Hollywood, this big superstar deal if I can't have both names. So you got to, I mean, say, hey, this is just jokes between us, you know, this whole, yeah, I'm just trying to make some money on the internet, yeah. But I got to have that name. I got to have that barkhop.net right back real soon. God damn it, real soon. This really counts. So this moron, he writes back, I want $5,000. He writes back, I want $5,000, not a nickel less. You're going to make a million. I want at least $5,000. Oh, the poor bastard. I didn't want to tell him. I was just, you know, kind of pulling with his funny bone there a little bit. But, well, I'll tell you, I guess it's a sad commentary. Boy, energy level drop. But what a sad commentary that my stalkers are so stupid. Boy, I just wish, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have some smarter stalkers? You know, maybe ones that could spell and stuff. I mean, damn. Okay, well, fun with stalkers. That's, boy, it's just so much fun to play with the stalkers. All right, let me see what's next. Hold on. Well, I noticed the clock is talking to me. Clock saying, hey, dude, you're about out of time. We're up in 20-something minutes here on this whole segment, and I know some of the slow loaders need to have this chopped into pieces because they just do. So we'll end part one here. And part two ought to be good. I got a special surprise. I got something I think you've never heard before. And, of course, we hadn't got to our garbage yet. There's a lot of stuff. Hadn't got to the news yet. Geez, you'd think this was a news show. But we will be back with part two. And part two should be better than part one. Surely. That's probably the best song on Garbage 3, Beautiful Garbage, and one of the saddest songs I've ever heard. Shirley has the uncanny ability, like a great, great actress. I don't know if there are any actresses this good, but she can put you in that moment. When, I mean, if you ever read her lyrics, she talks about, you know, when her boyfriend dumped her, the worlds collided and the heavens opened up. I mean, this imagery, you know, a lot of people think, damn, I was mad and I kicked him in the balls, but she conjures up these universal interstellar catastrophes that shake the foundation of, as you can tell, I can't do it, but wow, she, I've never heard of anybody who could put you in the song like she could. It's kind of amazing. Okay, this is part two, and just for good luck, we're going to run through the checklist. My good luck charm. Now, you notice I'm completely sober as I do this. I've had, probably a half an ounce of very finely distilled tequila so far. It will not affect me. Okay, so we're in part two. Let me see what's on the list for part two. I'll tell you something that pisses me off. Last night we watched some, what do they call it? Celebrity Revealed, Celebrity Unveiled, something bullshit story, some show on the E channel. And what they've done now, they built the whole show around the stalkers with cameras. And they call them paparazzi. And these guys piss me off. I mean, trust me, I don't want to be famous. I plan never to be famous. I hope, etc., etc. But these guys, they show on this E show, the Celebrity Revealed, Sunday, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, wherever you are, they show the stalkers. It's supposed to be entertainment about seeing the stars without their makeup kind of stuff, but no. The show portrays how these bastards just beg to be hurt. And if they ever do this to me, yeah, I'm going to make the headlines. I'm going to be in court, and I'm going to win that damn court case. There ain't a jury in this country. When they hear my story, they're going to vote for that son of a bitch with the camera. Anyway, in the steel last night, you've probably heard of Tracy Lords. Tracy Lords at one time was the queen of the underworld pornographic movie industry, but the problem was she was 17. Good actress, though, boy. But she got out of that. As a matter of fact, brilliant, brilliant marketing tactic. She made... I don't know her story. I saw an E! Show about it one time. She did maybe 20, 30 films, I don't know, all as a minor. And for her 18th birthday present, she turned in everyone that she ever worked with. And when she turned 18, she declared, she went to the, I don't know, the police, the press, lawyer, somebody, and said, I'm just now 18. These people are exploiting me. You know, they took advantage of me when I didn't know what I was doing when I was a young child last week. And so what that did, that band that made it very illegal and very, what's the word, like a Cuban cigar, it made all her old movies impossible to market, at least legally. So the way I understand the story, she continued to make films for a little while, thereby granting herself the only legal... What am I looking for here? She's the only one on the planet that could legally sell a Tracy Lords film because every single film she ever was in was as a minor, and they very quickly became very illegal, etc., etc. So what a marketing ploy, Tracy Lords. Anyway, she went on to be a semi-legitimate actress. She was on Melrose Place, which I didn't know, and she was on Profiler. She was Jack, the Lex Luthor on Profiler was named Jack, Jack of all trades or Jack on the Beanstalk, something. And she was his little assistant before he killed her. So anyway, back to the story about the stalkers and the paparazzi. Oh, that's from a French film. It made in 1961 by somebody, probably a French guy. They made up the word, and since they didn't have a word for the sons of bitches with cameras that chase people, they started calling them that because it worked. So anyway, in the steel last night, they showed a clip of Tracy Lords and her boyfriend. Now, I assume it was, the film was in such bad shape you couldn't see I mean, I thought I saw a woman, but, you know, it wasn't like you could see her face. I take it their word for it that Tracy Lords was in the car. And this photographer runs up to him, and apparently they did not grant the photographer access to their face. They didn't pose or stand in a light or whatever. So this photographer walks up to Tracy and says, "Did you know your boyfriend's a faggot that takes it in the ass?" Now, I'll tell you, in Oklahoma, those are fighting words. You say that in Oklahoma, I mean, you know, as I said in part one, I don't give a fuck. But you walk up to some guy with a cowboy hat that's about 6'5" and say, "Hey, I hear you're a faggot and you take it in the ass," there's going to be some dancing, and it won't be the slow, sensual kind either. But the idea that these cowardly bastards, they run up to these movie stars and stuff, and they say, "I hear your wife's blowing black guys down at the wharf." I mean, who's not going to take a swing at the guy? I mean, I just don't understand. So eventually the star snaps. Oh, hold on. A weird thought just hit my head. For a second or two, I had some respect for Tommy Lee. But the idea, if I'm a big movie star, you know, people like Alec Baldwin and his wife, Bassinger, and I think she was holding the baby, the new baby at the time, and these photographers start running up and causing this kind of shit, and Alec popped the guy. Right on, Alec. Pop that son of a bitch hard. Kick him in the teeth. Do whatever you want to do. You get a free shot. And so this guy takes him to court, and Alec says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I lost my head. I need to learn more about myself. My anger is uncontained. Yeah. Bullshit. Not me. Guy says that to me. Oh, God forbid he's got a camera. God forbid the camera's rolling and it's got sound. That'll be Exhibit A. Hey, you on the jury." You run up to the foreman of the jury. "I hear you take it in the ass, faggot." Who's going to respond passively to that? Especially after it's been done, you know, a few hundred times. I mean, you know, you walk up to someone and say, "Your wife's a whore. You know, get away from me." But to have them, like they showed in the show last night several times, they're following them through the airport, the L.A. airport. And what these bastards do, they get about 5 feet in front of you, and I guess they have a helper so they don't trip over stuff. But they're 5 feet in front of you, and they film me the entire time. Now, think about it. I don't know about you, but it takes me an hour to get to the airport. You get off the damn plane. You stand in line. You stand in line for the luggage. You stand in line at the damn rent-a-car. It just, you know, it takes forever. And to have a guy standing 5 feet from you the whole time, pointing the camera, sticking the camera in your face, you know he's got a close-up. My nose is going to be 2 feet high on the screen, you know. And this guy is all the time screaming, "Bart, I hear you take it in the ass because you're a faggot." Well, hey, trust me. I'm gonna. If he's smaller than me, I'm gonna cause him a lot of physical damage. And when he sues me, I'm gonna say, "Excellent! I can't wait to be there. I'll be there with fucking bells on. I'll have my Chinako at my side. I'm gonna get in front of that jury, and we're gonna play your tape, and we're gonna get a list of your medical bills. Maybe I'll just bitch slap him so he doesn't have a bunch of medical bills." But the idea: how did these stars lose these cases with these paparazzi prick bastard sons of bitches? I just don't understand it. But anyway, if you get a chance to catch that stupid show, the show is kind of interesting in that it shows what bastards the photographers are. I mean, they say you're in a public place or something. Yeah. Maybe. If I'm walking down the street and you're on the other side of the street, you want to take my picture, fine, I don't care. But you get 5 feet in front of me and start yelling faggot at me, trust me, I'm going to win that. You're going to be paying me damages when we leave the court, and you're the sumbitch with the capped teeth. That's going to happen. Please, yeah, let's try it. Let's make it happen. Okay, done with that. I have another complaint. I guess part two is the complaint hour. These bastards going after Hillary all the time. I heard this one the other day. I was in the car, couldn't do much about it. But I thought about it, and I wrote it down, so I'm going to tell it to you now. I'm driving down the street. It doesn't matter which show, doesn't matter which vulgar pig boy it was. They're all the same. They were going on and on about what a slut Hillary was, this murdering, dangerous woman that's out to force homosexuality down your kid's throat. Yak. And then the guy says, "And on top of all that, she has the gall. That's what it was. It was Sir Edmund Hillary's 50th anniversary of climbing Mount Everest. So this is whatever day that was." And they're going on and on about this lying, tramp, scheming bitch from hell that has the gall, the unmitigated gall, to tell people she was named after Sir Edmund Hillary when it appears to be a fact that she is more than 50 years old, and the 50th anniversary just happened. They kept saying, Well, did she foresee it? Is she crested? Did she know that Hillary, that Edmund Hillary is going to climb Mount Everest in a couple of years? So, you know, then he went on and on. You sons of bitches. Let's stop and think for a second. Number one, A, if you prefer, I have never heard Hillary brag that she was named after the guy. I mean, we all take it as fact that she did. Oh, she does. She can't shut up. Yakety-yakety, flapping her gums. Edmund Hillary, me and Edmund. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard it once. Never heard it once. But they all, these right-wing little monkey whores, they all take it for a fact and a guarantee, etc., that she did that, that she claimed that she was named after herself. I never heard it. Somebody show me. I'm from Missouri. Number two, I don't know Mrs. Clinton. I've never met her. But I can give you a guarantee, without a doubt, without any doubt, I can give you this guarantee. I can guarantee this like my name was Nancy Grace, and I was giving you Scott Peterson's motives for murdering his wife. The day she was born, she did not hear and understand them naming her. I guarantee that. It wasn't like on her first 4 hours on the planet, she said, "Hey, I want to be named Hillary, damn it." Didn't happen. Did not happen. Hillary could not have possibly named herself. I don't care if she's the smartest woman in the world. She could not have done that. The very best that's possible. Now, listen to me. We're talking about what's possible, what's not. As she got older, someone told her she was named after the mountain guy. Now, if someone in her family, odds are, if A, or one if you prefer, if it ever happened, if it's true, it's probably an old family joke that, you know, they all get a kick out of it. Oh, I'll bet she was named after the mountain guy. I mean, if it's true. But we don't know that it's true. If Rush and the others say it, it's probably false. You can bet that it's false for sure if Rush said it. But the idea, A, she didn't name herself. No, that was B. A, I give up, but you know what I'm saying. They want to pin that on her so bad that she's going around bragging. Yeah, that was A. She brags all the time, constantly, that she's named after the mountain guy. And B, she couldn't have been there. She just couldn't have been there when they named her. So, I've never heard her brag. And if she did, I doubt if she was serious. But that's my Hillary story. That damn dog's yapping again. I got more company. Hold on. Jesus, this time it's Latter-day Saints or LSD, whatever they're called. Do I need a sign? Do I need to put a sign outside? Been saved. Stay away. Approach at your own peril. If you come knock on my door and try to convert me, I'll convert you, and you'll leave here an atheist. So stay away from my damn front door. Okay, I had a celebrity phone call. Hey, check this out.
Hello, Bart. This is Shirley Manson from Garbage. Pardon my voice. It's a little froggy today. It's only tequila I've been drinking in honor of you. I just wanted to call and say you have a great side. I love it. Goodbye.
Hey, Shirley, that was good. Appreciate you calling. Now, we need more phone calls like that. See, it had a little inventive, had a little this and that in it, so don't hesitate to be inventive and call in. Let's take a couple of more calls while we're at it.
Hi, Bart. This is Greg. I'm listening to a very nice station, Kill Radio, out of Los Angeles. I just told a DJ about Barkov. Maybe the word will get out. I've donated using PayPal, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get into the member section because I don't have a member anything. I tried it, and it, you know, I don't want to miss Bart Cop Radio. If you can possibly find a way to, I think that I'm going to miss out on Monday or Tuesdays here because we're going to have members soon. I hope I have given you everything, and I just want to say again how incredibly brilliant most of the people on your website are. I'm just so impressed. Thank you so much for everything.
Thanks for that, Greg. Appreciate you spreading the word out there in L.A. Had a friend who used to call it La La Land. And every single time he did that, I'd look at him with that puzzled look on my face and say, La La Land? And he was forced to say, you know, Los Angeles. And I did that to him 25 or 30 times. Just La La Land. We hadn't drank enough tequila to go there. As far as you're getting the show, you know, we want everybody to get the show. I know the exclusive nature of it would seem to belie that, but I just don't know how to survive on no money. I mean, if anyone out there has learned to do a fun job for free that pays the bills, please let me know. I want to join you. I just don't know how. We have a caller coming up who has a novel idea about building Bark Up Radio. Oh, geez, I can't find it, though. It'll be in the pile somewhere. But, yeah, if we had it to do again, I would have done some kind of a, you know, when you sign up, you get a friend for free or something. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of hard to go back now because the people that have already paid, hey, you didn't let me have a friend for free, and it's kind of confusing. The other part is, I've gotten some mail that says, hey, Bart, remember me? I sent in some money, you know, like in 81, I mean, you know, in 2001. And you're going to cut me out? And it's like, well, no, you know, we're not looking to cut anybody out. I realize not everybody has $10 a month. And if you remember, I seemed like for 4 or 5 months or whatever, for a while, a couple of months minimum, we tried to get people signed up for $5, and I kept saying, you know, it's $5 now, it'll be $10 someday. I mean, you know, sure, we mishandle lots of things around here, but we're not doing it with bad intent. But the point is, we would like for the radio to grow. And funny, as the shows get better, we are picking up some subscribers. We get sometimes 2 a day. Hey. But as far as the income part of it and the, you know, not leaving people out, if you have sent money in the past, if it was any significant amount, trust me, I'll remember you. But if you would notify me, we're not trying to keep anybody out there. There have been some semi-pillars like Rude Rich. You know, I went ahead and put him in the mix, even though he's such a cheap bastard he's never sent a penny. But, you know, we like Rude Rich around here. We want to get him on the radio because there's nobody more fun than Rude Rich. Did you ever see the clown on Letterman that was always in a foul mood, always smoking and just a real crusty bastard? Maybe that's where they got the Simpsons clown from. But the guy, he was just in a foul, always real hungover, real droopy eyes. I mean, it was just funny as hell because he was exactly the opposite of a clown. But not that my good friend Rude Rich is a clown. I just, having Rude Rich along is just fun, and I can't wait to see him contribute more or contribute anything to the radio show. When I sent him his notice that he was in, he wrote and said, oh, dude, I was going to send you some money, you know. Okay, so yes, if anyone has some ideas about what we can do as far as the radio, I mean, we're doing what we can. If you know other way, you know, if I had a big brother who had made it, you know, like Rush. Rush became a big-time radio guy because his dad owned a radio station. And to get the son of a bitch whining out of the house to get him the hell away from here, he said, go down to the damn radio station. Said, I, as the owner, said to put you to work. You know, all right, so that's how Rush got into radio. If I had an older brother who was into radio, see? Oh, boy, these shows would be slicker than slick. But we don't. We're doing what we can. And, yeah, more of that. Okay, so I'll be damned. Once again, the clock is talking to me. You know, I said earlier, as my previous testimony will corroborate, this radio thing is starting to get good to me. Now, once it gets good, I think there may be a lot of people that say, boy, I wish we could go back to the days when he shut the hell up. But right now, I'm taking small leaps for mankind. I don't know what the thing is. But, okay, closing out part 2 is going to take about 6 minutes. I got a big surprise for you after I put you through the torture. So if you want, you can fast forward on your little MP3 there. But tell you what, before you fast forward past this next part, be sure that you know what it is before you fast forward through it, because you might get a kick out of it. I think it's spectacular, but, you know, I'm weird. All right, I give you this. Oh, and we must dedicate this to Rude Rich, because I know he is their biggest fan.
Brave and sure, 5 passengers set sail that day. And they're here on Gilligan Island.
Well, in the past, when I've played that for people, they refused to speak with me for 30 days or so afterwards. That was Stairway to Gilligan by the Castaways. We've had that probably, I'm so old, we've had that 25 years. We got that in something, 76, 77. And the story is that Jimmy Page heard that and was not, he was not amused. He was not amused at even a little. And I don't know if any of this is true, but the story was that he sued him, subpoenaed the master tapes in court, and the judge gave, you know, awarded, Jimmy's got a lot of money. The judge awarded the case to Mr. Page, and the guy had to surrender his tapes, and Jimmy burned him in a courtroom, and yeah, I'm sure all of that happened, but it is kind of amazing how, maybe it's like the Pink Floyd and the Wizard of Oz, but funny how the two of them can go together, and I'm sure if you think Stairway to Heaven's the most sacred song of ever, that I've just committed the most capital of crimes, but Christ, it's a song. Get over it. I've got an extensive Led Zeppelin collection. I have probably 100 Stairways to Heaven. And in case you didn't catch it, the middle part was the real guys. That was from a show February 12th, 1975. Big, big snowstorm in New York that night. Hello, and welcome to part 3 of show 7. Damn, that's hard to keep straight. My name is Bart. I got no business behind the microphone. It is July something, 8th, 9th, somewhere in there. It's a Wednesday. I can tell because last night was poker night and tonight is poker night. But only on TV because I can't find nobody to play poker with. So, got a really big show, really, really big show today. We're closing out show number 7. And we've been tardy on the news and tardy on some phone calls. We're going to get to the phone calls for sure, but damn, there just ain't no news. We got the monkey in Africa. It just seems so normal. Not much to comment on. Okay, so tell you what. Let's get a phone call or two. Oh, by the way, that was George Harrison. Not sure what it's from. It's obviously live. I guess he's practicing with some people, or it's a warm-up, or it's a sound check, or it's a whatever, but I miss George. Okay, before we get there, let's get the checklist out of the way. Shout out to Tanako for good luck. I haven't done a bad show as long as I've had the Tanako. Okay. Take it away, Joe. Phone call number 1.
Hey, Bart. It's me, Joe, and Khalil. I'm just reading your site right now. You know what else gets me, Bart, is watching Bruce Willis on TV say, oh, I wanted to go and fight. Well, where were you when we were kids, motherfucker? He's 48 years old. He was old enough to go there and fight. Back when we were kids, those guys cracked me up, man. Miller's the same way, you know, talking shit, but back when the shit was happening when we were kids, they weren't fighting. Well, I'm going to keep reading your side. I'm on it right now, Bart. You have a good night, buddy.
Joe has a good point. There's something about a man, the day he becomes ineligible back then for the draft, they get real brave. You know, men in their 40s and 50s, they're all ready to fight. Sacrifices must be made, they tell us. But sure, when they had a chance to make a sacrifice, they had dry skin. They had a bad knee. Daddy bought them a cushy slot in a sold-out Texas National Guard outfit. Some, like our vice president, said they had shit to do. Swear to God. They said, hey, Dick Cheney, why didn't you fight in World War I or whatever it was you were eligible? And he said, I had other things on my mind. I had other obligations. I had shit to do. Well, hey, I can think of about 55,000 names on a wall in D.C. They had lives to live. But no, it was real important they went. And it was real important that we go over to Iraq and start a bunch of shit that Daddy could have finished 12 years ago, but there's something about that second war that makes so much more money than the first war. Think about it for a minute. George Bush had a chance to take care of Saddam. In 91, the UN gave him a blank check. Everybody on the planet wanted Saddam taken care of. And George said, oh, I can't think of a way to get that done. I don't have a mandate to handle the problem. I got a mandate to go over there and bang two pots together like a putz. Jesus Christ, we had an army in Iraq at the time, and all justification in the well, besides Bush inviting him into Kuwait. But once the idiot tried to take Kuwait, sidebar, why the hell didn't he take Saudi Arabia with it? What kind of idiot takes Kuwait? And here, the only one that can stop him is, what, 7 months? He invaded in August, and we started in January, so I call it 5 months. He had 5 months to take Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. But no, idiot, if you're going to take it, take it. Don't take a fourth of it and then put your finger in your ass for 5 months and wait for a bigger army to show up and kick yours. So here we are. Bush has the big army in Iraq. But no, he doesn't want to take Saddam out. He wants to keep Saddam there. A lot of oil in Iraq. He's got a good friend, Dick Cheney, who's going to be retired real damn soon, going to be in the private sector, going to be picking up some lucrative contracts with Halliburton and Enron and Brown and Root and all those crooked companies that make all their billions off the war. Yeah, Bush had a chance to solve this problem back in 91 with the faith of the whole world behind him. But no, you can't make no money on one war. You make the big money on the second war. Remind everybody, oh, remember Hitler 91? Well, now he's turned into Hitler 03. So now we got to go stop him. Turns out there was never a reason. Bless you, Putz. Like father Putz, like son Putz. But yes, Joe, you are correct. A lot of people get real hawky when they're unable to fight. Which is one way, I don't get mad, but, you know, we have to give some grudging respect to a guy like, I hate to say it, Oliver North. And I damn sure will give some respect to that crazy David, or what's his name, Hackworth. If I was president, I wouldn't want Hackworth as my Secretary of Defense. But when I was being given options, I would like to hear what Hackworth had to say. Hell, I'd like to hear what Haig had to say. I'd like to hear what Rummy had to say. I'd like for the idea to enter into my head. I wouldn't want a room full of doves explaining why we can't attack no matter what. I mean, Christ, if you're the president, you're supposed to get options. I would like options if I was president. And after I made my decision, they'd tell me to knock it off. We can't do that, Mr. President. It is kind of sickening that I saw things, sons of bitches, on CNN yesterday. CNN is Fox News number two. Saw a thing yesterday, I don't even know who they were talking about, but they were saying, is he more like McCain or more like McGovern? Now, they were trying to show the two ends of the spectrum there. McGovern, you know, the sissy liberal pink tutu liar schemer, you know, yeah. And on the other end is John McCain, certified hero. Well, no one's trying to take away McCain's certified hero status, but McGovern flew 35 or 40 or 50 missions over Germany. He wasn't driving bottles of Jack Beam while screwing a Mexican hooker while he was on duty. No, he was flying over enemy territory, dropping bombs, driving the dreaded Hun back into his little bunker there so we could kill him at the end, or he could kill himself. But the idea that to use George McGovern as the epitome of a liberal dove pisses me off, and I don't like it. Good phone call, Joe. Next caller up is a little bit angry, and I'm not sure if it has anything to do with the recent Texas sodomy ruling, but one never knows.
George Bush. Any George Bush. Him right in his tight, white, yale-going, skull and bones, dirty brown.
Well, I'm not sure we need any of that around here, but I can understand the caller's frustration. When an illegal regime uses illegal means to take illegal power so they can start illegal wars and make a lot of money off the dead kids? Yeah, maybe fuck 'em isn't too strong a language.
It doesn't have to be like this.
Okay. Okay, let's lighten it up. Our old friend John Stewart came back last night. I know a lot of you are really pissed at me because now and then there's a day without a new Bart Cop, but John Stewart came back from a two-week-plus vacation. But he explains it wasn't his fault. Now, you know me, I always get the tape in half late. He came out and said, yes, we were supposed to take a week off, and actually we ended up taking two, but there's a good reason for it.
And then what happened was the Supreme Court made its landmark ruling protecting sodomy. And, you know, we had to celebrate. How often is the new sex act legalized? What kind of a man would I be? What kind of a boss would I be to tell my employees, hey, sodomy's legal now. See you Monday. No! No! Sodomy is legal. Take a week to get used to it. Although for me, quite frankly, now that it's legal, the thrill is gone. It's not the same as when you could maybe drive down to Alabama, rent a hotel room, and hire some guys to shout, police! You know. There's always bestiality. Hang in there. Applause for anal copulation. Feels good to be back.
Well, John, it's great to have you back. Damn, it's... John Stewart has got the best writing. I don't know if the writing is better or if the delivery is better. It might be the delivery. I have a feeling I could write for him. And when he delivers a line, he's just so good at it. And he's on our side. I'll be damned. We do have something good on our side. John Stewart, current king. Hats off to John Stewart. All right, let's grab another call.
Just to put him in his place, I would like to crush Limbaugh right in his big, fat, dirty...
Well, now, there we go again. This is not meant to be the all-sodomy issue. Tell you what, how about a lighthearted moment from the past? I was watching a show called It Most Outrageous Game Show Moments in All of History. And there was a certain moment in game show history that turned out to be number one. I'm going to let Bob Eubanks from the Newlywed Game explain it to you.
When they asked me to do this show and they told me they had this clip, my initial instinct was not to do the show. But then I figured out that if I didn't do the show, they were going to show the clip anyway. It's nothing that I'm proud of. And I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for a couple of reasons. Number one, of the thousands of people that I told that it didn't happen. And number two, I'm embarrassed for the clip itself. The year was 1977. I posed a question to a young couple, and no one expected the answer would become an urban legend. Most say it never happened. And honestly, I didn't think it happened either. But it did happen. And finally, once and for all, here it is. Here's the last of our five-point questions. Girls, tell me, where specifically is the weirdest place that you personally, girls, have ever gotten the urge to make whoopee? Olga?
Go ahead.
In the...
No, let's talk about is the weirdest location, the weirdest place. Give me an answer, please. He said it was in the car on the freeway.
Oh, and in case you're not familiar with that clip, the young lady said, in the ass. You could read her lips very clearly, and I just didn't want a bunch of people writing saying, well, Bart, if you bleeped it out, how do we know what she said? So that's what the poor, confused thing said. Did you ever see in the original Batman movie with Adam West and Burt Ward? My favorite scene in the movie is when Batman's holding a giant bomb over his head. I mean, it looks like a cherry bomb. A bomb isn't a beach ball with a fuse on it, but in the Batman movie it is. So Batman's running around with this bomb over his head. Of course, there's a foot-long fuse sticking out of it burning. He wouldn't think to sink it in water or pull the fuse out or any of that. So Batman's running everywhere, and everywhere he tries to toss the bomb, you know, either it's some little kids or there's a marching band or here comes some tourists, and finally he's on this wharf or pier, and he finally finds a place where he can throw the bomb into the water, but there's some little baby ducks. And God knows he would rather all the people on the pier die than to mangle the baby ducks. So he looks at the camera and says, you know, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. And that reminds me a little of our situation today. It seems like sodomy is everywhere we turn. Tell you what, I'll bet the next call has nothing to do with sodomy.
Mark, how you doing? This is Yellow Dog Democrat. I was calling because I wanted to talk about, I've got some a lot of friends that have been turning over to the Green Party and Libertarian and, you know, Independent. And I've been trying to tell them, hey, we need your votes to get W out of office. Democratic Party is getting soft. We need all the support we can get. And some of them are responsive and some are not. So I'm thinking it might be something we can do, you know, like a campaign. Tell the Greens, hey, if you want it green, vote Democrat this time around, because voting green is only going to get you W. I think it might be helpful for the Democratic Party to get together, allied with other internet organizations like Move On and True Majority, Democratic Underground.
Something needs to be done about the Greens, and I'm not sure what it is. It's not like they're lost and they need a helping hand. No, they, or maybe I'm just seeing the worst of the Greens, because I don't like what they did to the country in the year 2000. But it seems like the Greens are so very, very proud of what they did in 2000, and that's the part that's tough to forgive. If they would say, gosh, we heard you telling us again and again a thousand times that a vote for Ego Boy was a vote for the monkey monster, then we wouldn't have done it. But now, see, they can't say that because we told them again and again and again they were screwing up, and they said, we don't care. Two negatives make a wrong, or voting for evil is less than, you know, oh, shit. They had all, hey, I got an idea for you, Greens. Why don't you take all those slogans and make them into bumper stickers and paper the inside of your house with them? That way you can live and breathe that cliche shit. And maybe we can get a president that's not interested in rewarding the super wealthy and punishing the poor and the black and the gay. Jesus Christ. I know you guys think you're doing the right thing, but, you know, so do those parents that let their children play with rattlesnakes because the invisible cloud being wants them to. I mean, maybe what you think is the right thing isn't always the right thing. Why don't you think about your country first and put that ego boy in the back of your head and don't think about him, you know, a month before and after Election Day. And there's a standard rule here, and if any of you has a retort for this, I'd damn sure like to hear it. You don't start out running for president. I don't care if you're Nader. I don't care if you're Hillary. I don't care if you're Ross Perot. I don't care if you're Lyndon LaRouche. I don't give a F who you are. You don't take the presidency for your first job. No, what you do, you get elected a representative or mayor or governor or senator or something. You do something. You've got, number one, you've got to prove you can get along with somebody. What the hell are we going to do if Nader gets in the White House? That'll happen. But if he got up there and all the Democrats hate him and all the Republicans hate him and the whole country's paralyzed for 4 years, nobody does anything and the country just sits there and, you know, that sounds like a real, real, of course, it sounds maybe preferable to the monkey boy we got, but the idea, if Nader wants to be president, tell him I said this. Tell him old Bart said this. Capture this and send it to the son of a, on an MP3. You don't start out as the president. You don't start out your first job in elected office as the most powerful man on the planet. And again, compared to the monkey we got, I know that's, but you just don't. If you want to be president, prove something to us. Don't stand there and say, oh, they're all alike. Vote for me, idiot. And what kind of idiot would vote for Nader? He had 2%. You can't win an election with 2%. What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with you that you would vote for the 2% guy? Did you vote for Alan Keyes too? Huh? Did you? So anyway, I don't know what to do with the Greens. I'm not trying to piss them off, but as long as they are pulling for Bush with all their might, what do you want me to wish them? Good luck and Godspeed? MickRaceley-Silver.com. When you go to Mick's website, which is MickRaceley-Silver.com, you'll see a deal called Design Info. When you click on that, it says, challenge me with the unusual request, jewelry, accessories, sculpture, boxes. If you've seen a piece somewhere, perhaps in your mind, and you don't know where to get it, contact me. Offer custom one-of designing, yours or mine. I can do fabrication, casting, repoussé, don't know what that is, fire painting, which is drawing on silver in a plastic state. I will combine metal with wood, leather, stones, fossils, relics, etc. I'm able to work from photos, drawings, and or spec sheets. Plus, we know he can work off a Chinako bottle. I craft biomechanical, tattoo, counter and subculture art, and object d'art. My favorite specialties are wildlife, flora, fauna, and animal and human anatomical themes. Sounds like something for the ladies. I can design promotional and award recognition products using corporate, club, or organization logos. Products include buckles, pins, pendants, rings, or other accessories applications. Contact me at MickRaceley, which is RaceLey-Silver.com. And since this somehow turned into the all-sodomy issue, I'd like to say how grateful I was that MSGOP finally canned that monkey, Michael the Wiener Savage. He is Rush's bad joke taken much too far. And I'm glad he got his, and it was kind of fun to see some other radio guys turn on him. I heard Neil Bortz say that he didn't want to dump on him, but he said, hey, he said what he said, and if he wants to claim he thought he was off the air, well, we all have our own little fantasy worlds, don't we? And I heard Savage Wiener talking about he appreciated Sean Hannity sticking with him, but he was very disappointed in Bill O'Reilly. So here we got another case where Bill O'Reilly, every once in a while, Bill O'Reilly likes to make sense. You know, like 1 out of 10, he likes to make a little sense just to prove that he's not Rush. Yeah, that should be the criteria for all broadcasters. I'm not exactly Rush. That's just real ducky. Oh, and a shout out to my friend Reef the Dog for the extra good picture of Wiener in issue number, whatever that was, probably Tuesday. Had Wiener's face on some hot dog barbecuing Wieners that had, I thought came out real good. For you fellas, this has nothing to do with sodomy. There's a new Brooke Burke calendar out. If you go to brookeburke.com, I'll bet it's there. I haven't been there yet. I am tardy. I'm a busy man. But I'm going to go to brookeburke.com. That's B-R-O-O-K-E, and Burke is B-U-R-K-E.com. And I'm going to look at that new calendar. And if it's any good, I thought I might give some away as prizes. We'll have a contest, and then the winner will get a Brooke Burke prize. And I guess if you're a female type, and you're not interested in Brooke Burke, maybe we could get you a Vigo naked calendar. I know Tally would like one of those, or we'll find some suitable hunk that sells calendars. I guess men sell calendars. I wouldn't know. I've never been asked to pose.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. A couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a .357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcatta 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Well, it looks like it's about time to close up old show number 7. We opened with some Del Castillo from the year 2003. Matter of fact, that was live. They did a show at KLBJ, wherever that is, Waco, Austin, somewhere down there, and broadcast it over the internet. And for an internet broadcast, I thought that was damn good quality. And the quality of the performance can't be beat. They just effing rule, as the kids say. Okay, so you've heard little Del Castillo 2003. Now you're going to hear some Rick Del Castillo a couple, two, three, four, five, six bands back at Bart's Hard Rock Island. You're going to have to excuse the quality of the recording. In the 80s, we didn't have the equipment, and Koresh knows I didn't know how to handle it. And here we are, 18 years later, I don't know how to handle this equipment either. But somehow, you're going to end up hearing a little Rick Del Castillo in his old band, Akasha, at Hard Rock Island, live as it can be. He's going to start out with his favorite Uli riff. He's going to start out with his favorite Uli von Roth. That's hard to say. He's going to start out with his favorite Uli von Roth riff. Rick's going to start out with his favorite Uli von Roth from UFO riff. Then he's going to do a little Beethoven. He's going to do a little Bach. Not too many guitar players played Bach, Beethoven, and Uli in the same night at the Hard Rock Island. So enjoy this. Yeah.
just really can't believe that the press in this country is letting this asshole of a president get away with what he is.